For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, 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 what is up, everybody? Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It's your girl, Denise Salcedo. It is January 31st, and we are here to talk about AEW Dynamite. But as always, I am not alone. I am joined by my good friend, one half of the California Connection, Righteous Reg. Reg, what's up, man?
It's your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. Hello, Denise. It's Wednesday night. What's happening this week? I don't know. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Life is life. There's an atmospheric river outside, Denise. Is it insane outside in LA too? Why are you looking at me crazy like that?
I haven't seen any rain yet.
No, nothing over there?
No, nothing over here yet. I don't think it's actually supposed to start for us until tomorrow.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. It said like 90% precipitation. And it's going to rain all of this weekend except Saturday. And then it's also going to rain all of next week. So I was like, thanks. Go ahead and kill my plants. Because here's the thing, Reg. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's like this in Oakland, but when it rains here in LA, everything stops. Yeah. Like people don't want to do nothing. You don't go outside. Everyone forgets how to drive. It's
1,000%. Yeah, it's ridiculous, Denise. Yeah, it's just a California thing at this point. Everything that you described is how it is. Everyone forgets how to drive. It's like, dude, you have to stay off the road just for that. When you ask somebody to do something, they're like, you know, it's raining outside, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's not enough though. What do you mean? Like, we can still go outside. No, Californians are like, you think I'm going to go outside and get wet, dude? No way. It's so ridiculous. So yeah, we're living in that right now. It's supposed to be, like you say, for a couple of days. So this is going to be the weekend of us all being cozy inside, I guess.
Today. Yeah. This, I remember like back in the day when I used to work in retail, every time it rained, I would call out sick. I would call and be like, oh, I'm not feeling good. I have a cold. I have cramps, something. I would never go to work when it rained because I would open my window and be like, nah, it looks rough out there. Yeah. I can't work under these conditions.
Nope, no way. Can't drive. I can't commute under these conditions. I'm staying at home. I'll watch it from inside. No, honestly, Californians, Denise, we're just spoiled little brats. We get a little bit of rain and we're just like, shut our whole lives down. Can't go outside. And meanwhile, there's people in snow and ice and all this wild stuff. And we're just like, it rained like 1 inch outside. It's crazy.
That is 100% true. Honestly, I think all people from California right now are probably like, yeah, that's what's up. I don't got to do nothing. And there's people here that, like you said, go through snow, go through all of these terrible storms and still got to go to work yet.
Tornadoes, Denise. We don't have to deal with tornadoes. We don't know that life.
No, of course not. No, if we were dealing with tornadoes, I'd be out here writing my will already. It's fucking scary. I haven't dealt with that. I don't know about that stuff. Yet last week on the show, we went through an earthquake.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, we do have our things. We have earthquakes. We have fires like crazy.
Yeah.
Our freeways are insane. But yeah, when rain happens, we just don't want to do anything.
Yeah, for sure. But anyways, it's going to be a busy week, though, I would say, though.
I guess so. There's a lot going on, as always. There's a lot of wrestling going on. There's a lot of sports going on. Super Bowl's coming up. So, yeah, I think it's going to be super busy consistently. Are you traveling, Denise? I know you just came back from somewhere. Are you going back again to another place?
You know, I was actually going to make this announcement yesterday, but now that you mention it, screw it. I'll make it right now.
Boom.
Your girl is going to be covering media for the Super Bowl for the very first time.
What?
Not at the actual Super Bowl event, but but for like Radio Row and stuff.
Wow.
I got in finally.
That is super
cool. It's
my
first time. I've never done it before. So I'm really excited to see like who I get to talk to at the event. And it's like the place to be because like everyone who's anybody is going to be there like doing interviews and things like that and talking to people in all of your top media outlets. So seriously, shout out to Busted Open and SiriusXM for hooking a girl up, you know. I called
Congrats, and I was like, Denise.
Hey, so you know, you know, the Super Bowl is going to be in Las Vegas. I'm 3 hours away. You know, and worked my magic in. So I'm very excited. I'm going to be at the event. I'll be there. I'll be in Vegas from Thursday through Saturday, and I'm going to come home and then do a little Super Bowl party at my house and with my husband and my wife.
Whoa, what happened, Denise?
I was literally going to say my husband and my wife.
I'm like, yo, I knew about the husband. This is a new discovery with the wife. What's going on here?
I'm dead.
I'm like, you're having a good time over there. What kind of Super Bowl party is this?
Oh man, I'm dead. I don't know what's wrong with me. My mom and the kids are coming too, not my wife.
Ooh, I'm like, hey, yo, Denise is out here having a really good time.
Oh man, I'm crying right now. This was not the way that I was planning on starting this podcast. Oh man.
But anyways, now the rumors, Denise, are gonna start. Congrats. That is really, really. She said it, not us, you guys. Denise is the one that put this out here. We're just following along.
I'm dead.
I think we talk about wrestling on this show. Regardless of that, Denise, congrats on this. This is super cool. The Super Bowl, I have a cousin that lives out in Vegas, and I've just been talking about how insane it's about to be out there. Like, so many people are traveling there. And ever since the 49ers have been announced, the Bay Area, pretty much everybody from the Bay Area is driving down there. So it's going to be insane.
Man, I messed up my makeup now because I started crying over the wife thing. Now I just look dumb. Now I got one eye that's bigger than the other. Yes. Let's get to this dang wrestling show.
We love it. Yes.
Let's go. All right. First and foremost, I want to give some shout outs over to Peter Perossi, who just became a brand new DWL member. Thank you so much for that. Welcome. Sheldon Jackson also gifted 5 DWL memberships, always keeping us going here. So thank you so very much. We got some super chats to get into. So let's freaking go. All right. I want to kick things off with Ebony Prince, who, by the way, thank you so much for all of the support on Twitter, says, hello, California Connection. It was a great show. I'm glad you thought so. Overall, Reg, what'd you think of Dynamite today?
I thought there were some really good wrestling matches, Denise. I saw somebody in the chat early in the chat said, you have to have more than just great wrestling matches in order to tell stories. And I think that's kind of where we're going to land with this episode.
Okay. Grapple Geekery says, tonight's episode flew by. Part of that was completely tuning out of the Callis family. And Jericho, that said, Dealer's Choice was fun. Tony was hilarious. And Deanna rules. Just hope Wardlow is okay. Thank you so much to Grapple Geekery for also sending this super chat in. We got Roberto Arsenal, who says, who does Tony announce next week, Okada or Mercedes Moné? So let's talk about that. That'll be the first thing we get into. So, like many times before, Tony Khan, or rather AEW, has announced that Tony Khan has a big announcement next week on Dynamite. They're really, really prepping up next week's Dynamite. By the way, it looks like it's going to be a strong show. And one of the things that we're going to be seeing is this announcement from Tony Khan. Now, the number one thing that people are writing on social media is the speculation of Kazuchika Okada or Mercedes Moné, who may or may not be announced next week, or if we have something else that's going to be announced next week. Reg, where are you at with this? Because we've sat here very many times before talking about these Tony Khan announcements. Then what was the last one? The last one was that all-in ticket sales were going on sale.
All-in tickets were
going on sale.
And that one didn't really hit as hard. Denise, I think we're at a better place. I know last time you were like, all right, Tony Khan, enough with the announcements. I think at this point, though, we have so many great free agents. We have Okada out there. We have Mercedes out there. This time it's like there's this crazy anticipation. People have been guessing. Some people have been guessing maybe they're going to do this arena show in Mexico since they have the CMLL tie. Like, I've been seeing all kinds of stuff on the timeline. Super interesting. Where I land at is it going to be this announcement is here's this person, or is it going to be this announcement is we're going to have an announce another date for the person? I don't know what it could be, Denise. You know how it is. We're landed at so many different places. I want it to be Mercedes. I'll jump out the window. I don't care. I want it to be Mercedes is coming here. You guys get your pants ready.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. This is why I don't think it's going to be Mercedes or Okada for this particular announcement, because I don't think that Tony Khan is just going to hop on and be like, hey, guys, so we're going to have Mercedes Moné coming in next week or whatever, or Okada next week, because you know, whenever it is that they do have Okada or Mercedes coming out, they're either going to plant the seeds and start dropping all of these hints the way that they did for CM Punk and the first dance and all of that. Right. Or it's going to be one of those moments where all of a sudden music hits and Okada's walking through, or we hear money and one of those things. So I don't think they're going to just flat out be like, oh yeah, next week we're going to be getting Okada. They might drop a hint and give us something very obvious, but that within itself isn't an announcement. So it really depends on how they actually portray it. So here's my guess and my prediction for this. So I know that the number one prediction, or rather the number one thing that I think AEW fans have been waiting for a long time, is the streaming thing. I still don't think that's what the announcement is. I would be very thrilled if that's what it was, but I'm going to go on a limb and just maybe say like an extra show, because here's the thing. Like, I was looking at, and I was thinking about this last time actually, and I was planning on, when I was planning on going to World's End and Wrestle Dream, but I didn't end up going, one of the questions I was actually going to ask Tony Khan at the presser was going to be about the pay-per-view schedule, because if you remember last year, this is the pay-per-views we had. So March, Revolution, as always, okay, and then Double or Nothing in May, and then June, you had Forbidden Door, August, All In, September, All Out, October, Wrestle Dream, Full Gear, November, December, World's End. So we didn't really have anything for the first portion of the year. We literally went January and February without any shows. Then April, I mean, you know, I just feel like the bottom half of the year was very pay-per-view heavy, and the top portion of the year wasn't as pay-per-view heavy. So I was actually going to ask Tony Khan about, you know, just the, you know, if he was considering to rearrange any of the pay-per-views or how that was going to work, considering we've been having so many pay-per-views, but then we kind of stop at the start of the next year.
You bring up some pretty good points here, Denise. I mean, because I think that we can't go this. I felt like for a while there, we were moving into monthly pay-per-views with the schedule that they were going at. It doesn't look like that. We're not getting a pay-per-view here in January, and February doesn't look like they'll give one immediately. But yeah, I think they do need to kind of load up the beginning half, because it kind of feels like a waiting stage of getting to Revolution or Double or Nothing. Because this whole month, everybody's been like, well, wait for Revolution. I'm like, that's like 2 months away, or that's this many months away. And we need to get to a place where it's like, consistently we're building towards something big. So it could be that they're announcing another date. I just don't know, Denise. It's gotten to a good, or maybe bad, the way you look at it, point of these announcements of, there's been like the top announcements where it's like, we really like that. And then there's been like, maybe you could have like tweeted that. So it doesn't, you know, like, is there going to be in between? Where is it going to land at, you know?
Right. So if they do announce a new show, is that an email? Is that something they could send in a press release? Is that something you can put in a tweet? Bro, that didn't have to be a meeting. That could have been an email.
See, Denise, that it's like, where do you land with it? Is it like, are you going to be satisfied if he says, we're going to be at blah, blah, blah on blah, blah, blah date? Are you going to be satisfied with him saying, we have a new pay-per-view deal? Or are you going to be only satisfied with him announcing a streaming deal? It's all where you kind of land with it.
I would say that the four things is obviously Okada, Mercedes, some sort of hint towards that, right? Mm-hmm. But the other two things would be the streaming deal, I feel so exhausted. We've been talking about that for so long. That's a tired prediction at this point.
And that's like a press release, I think, just like on a Monday. I don't know if he's going to do like a Dynamite. Then, you know what I mean? Like, if they have a monumental deal like that.
I would announce that. He'll drop it on Dynamite like that? I would definitely announce that like on Dynamite. Like, if they are like, oh, hey, guys, we're going to HBO Max. We're going to be on Hulu.
But you know how it is. Like, when WWE announced their Netflix deal, it was like Monday morning, here's like a big press release, Variety and all this. I kind of expected it to drop like that if it is happening.
Yeah, but it's Tony Khan. If we can get the, hey guys, All In tickets are going on sale, I think we can get the, hey guys, AEW is going to be on this so-and-so streaming service.
True. Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's really good, like I was saying, that we're at these different places where it could be wrestlers, it could be streaming, it could be a venue, it could be a pay-per-view. Like, it's a good place to be in.
Yeah, and I'd be cool if he said, like, it was a pay-per-view or something, because I'm like, all right, you clearly want to get the most eyeballs on that, and the most eyeballs is going to be on Dynamite. But yeah, right. I'm looking at this, and literally from August through December, what, 5 months straight of AEW pay-per-views. And so now it feels weird because we have this long ass pause until Revolution, which they're not going to do anything before Revolution. That's for sure. Because at this point, can you imagine, like, we've been promoting Revolution this whole time, but oh, hey, let's just sprinkle this thing in there. That's not going to happen.
No. What about a different show that's not a pay-per-view, Denise, like another TV weekly show or something?
Oh, no, stop it, Reg. Stop it. Don't even throw that out there. Don't even throw that out there, bro. That's too much already. It's too much.
Denise says, stop it.
Stop it. What is that thing you're always saying? Y'all are nasty. Reg, you're nasty. What are you talking about?
It's just a suggestion, Denise. I don't know.
Well, put that away, okay? We're already fine. No bonus shows, none of that. If they want to do another, like, for example, you know how they have, like, Winter is Coming and little theme shows like that. If they do a theme show like that, okay, by all means, announce it. Let's have some fun, whatever. But don't be adding, like, all of a sudden, hey, AEW is coming on Tuesdays. We're in AEW Cannonball is going to start airing on Tuesdays on TNT.
AEW Cannonball is hilarious.
Okay, think about their names that they Dynamite, Collision, Rampage. Cannonball would be the next thing. You know, Tony Khan's right now writing this down going, you know what? That's a good idea, Cannonball.
It's not that bad. Not the worst idea.
I know it's not a bad idea.
AEW Cannonball got me out of here. Y'all better pay Denise when y'all announce that show too.
Yeah, thank
we know
you.
We got it here recorded.
Thank you. Exactly. All right. Well, let's go ahead and press on from here. And if any of you guys have any predictions or anything on what you think it's going to be, let us know. Let's get through these super chats. We got Simon Renshaw, who's been a member of the DWO for a year now, says, whoa, a year awesome. Already. Good show tonight. Thank you so much, Simon, for the kind comment. We got Delayed Grats, who says, Tony is announcing a 10% discount on CM Punk tees. Do they still got CM Punk tees on the website? No, they don't, right? They
last
don't,
time
right?
I checked, they did, but I they hope did? They don't anymore. But that was a couple weeks ago. It's
I
been
know
some time.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that you would put more than a 10% discount.
Hey, man, if you could still get some high price for a CM Punk shirt, give me the money.
That's true. You're right. I would do no discount then.
Exactly.
Alexander Fitzgerald says, next week, Dynamite is stacked. I was not expecting Hangman versus Swerve 3 so soon. What do you think TK's announcement will be? Mercedes, Okada, Warner Brother deal. Again, so we kind of touched on that already, but I would be happy if they announced a streaming service. But again, that's not what I'm expecting.
What would the streaming service look like for you, Denise? Just like the library of AEW or anything?
Yeah, so
that?
You know how WWE has the Peacock and they have their own little WWE tab and you go, and it's not the best interface, but I finally figured out how to use it. Yeah. The WWE network was way better, but I've gotten used to the Peacock. If they were to do something like that for AEW and just have the AEW tab and you can go and their library, it's only like, you know, a couple years. So it's going to be, I would assume, a lot easier to organize and input and all of that tech stuff that I don't know about.
Yeah. So just kind of an extension of the Max app pretty much is what you're thinking of. Yeah.
That's what I would personally like as a viewer. Is there anything that would be different?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, they could just put them in the I don't know if they have a sports tab on HBO Max. I have no idea.
I think they have like a Bleacher Report sports tab / thing, but they could essentially do it with AEW full-fledged if they were to do that, which would be good, I think, for business. So,
yeah. Wyatt Cox says, predictable outcomes, but one hell of a show. Orange juice for all except Denise. Have you heard about this?
I haven't heard about this.
I took a food intolerance test.
Oh, yeah. I did read your little tweet. Yeah.
Oranges are out, bro. They're out.
Wow.
I don't feel too bad about it.
You don't like oranges?
Not really. I do like orange juice, though. So orange juice is out of my life now. But I was actually really depressed about the basil because I really like basil a whole lot. And that's out the door. That actually causes the biggest reaction for me is basil.
And you just kept going for it?
Huh? I just kept eating it. I didn't know what it was. I was like, something's wrong, but I don't know what's causing it. And green beans and the basil were the highest ones for me, because the other ones, basically how they do the food intolerance test is they check 63 foods, right? And they tell you, you know, milk, eggs, no reaction, beef, pork, no reaction. Then there's low reaction, mid reaction, and high reaction. So the ones that I got like the highest reactions for was green beans and basil pesto.
Well, lucky for you, those are all, like all the main ones are like white people food, and like you'll be able to get around. Like it's gonna be, you're like, okay, yeah, I don't be eating that stuff anyway, so you know what I mean. Like everything's fine.
I don't gotta eat my vegetables now. Next time somebody's like, Denise, you gotta eat your green beans. Nah, screw you. I ain't gonna eat my green beans.
Not for me. Not for me.
Rafael Garcia says, just one question: are you wearing socks? The Don Callis thing, because you know how he doesn't wear socks.
Socks. Yeah. I was like, hell, I'm like, we're talking about Wiki feet again? This is crazy.
Let's not bring that back. Let's not bring that back. Chi-Town Spurs says, RVD doing that at 53, marijuana should really be federally legal.
Great point. I mean, look at RVD doing that. He could stretch. He could still do all that. And he legit credits it to all the weed. So,
does he really?
Yeah, he's like, I'm where I'm at. I haven't had any major injuries. I live the life that I live because of weed. And so shout out to weed.
Sam Pyboon says, will you interview Taylor Swift or her boyfriend at Super Bowl? You swear. You swear. I would die. I wouldn't even make it. I'd be like, I would choke. Honestly, I would choke, Reg.
You swear.
No, Denise, Reg, I would
Denise
choke.
Can't even handle the fake scenario. So imagine trying to get to that.
If you were to tell me, Denise, do a fake interview right now with Taylor Swift, what would you ask? I'd be like, and choke. Honestly.
But Denise, you are a professional. I've seen you with the top of the top in wrestling media. But if Tay-Tay stands next to you, you're going to fold?
Yeah, I'm going to fold. Damn, I'm going to fold. I've been in the same room with her, and I've been like, like, it's very ugly.
Compose yourself.
No, I start like crying and shaking and everything all at once. It won't ever happen. Like, I'll just like die.
What if you get it? What are you going to do? What if they're like, look, Denise, we need you. Taylor Swift is giving this Netflix special and she wants to do this interview with you. What are you going to do?
Cry and die. That's the plan. I would start sobbing and then I would just like die on the spot.
Cry and die.
Yes. I wouldn't be able to do it. The good thing is my interview would go viral.
Exactly. You know, it'd be so bad from you choking that it'd be great. Damn, Denise, you got to think about that. What if you get this big thing and they're like, yo, we need you tonight, Denise. Bring your microphone. And you're going to be like, I can't.
I can't.
Wow.
I would be so fucking nervous, Reg. Like, I would honestly choke. I already know it. And then it'd be really embarrassing, like those really cringe interviews where I'd be like, oh, Taylor, I love you so much. I'm such a big fan. Oh my God. You know, like it would just go out the door. All my profession, my career would end right there.
Okay, so keep you away from Taylor Swift. I'm learning. Yeah,
no,
you
don't keep
do
her
that.
Away from me. I would love to meet her.
Well,
someday,
you're saying you can if you
want to
be professional.
I would want to meet her in a non-professional setting, in a fangirl setting. Thank you.
Okay. What if you do the fangirl setting first and then you go to the interview? You think you could get it all out?
You get an hour to
just get it to mark out like a little girl, and then afterwards you guys do the interview. You think you could do it then?
I could probably get like one question out.
Denise is like, I cannot.
And it would be, Taylor, how are you? And that's it. Everything else would go like out of my brain.
So funny.
Craig Johnson says, I know this isn't AEW related, but I also wish my son, Caden, happy 11th birthday. Also, thank you, too, for the best wrestling post show. Man, happy birthday to your son, Caden, who's turning 11 years old.
Caden, 11 birthday. That's dope. Shout out to Caden. Shout out to Craig. Yo, that's super dope. All that.
Sheldon Jackson says the Kelly Connection show is kind of the nightcaps. I come for the wrestling and stay for the stories, for real.
Honestly.
Yeah. Denise chokes. Metalhead for Life says, your honest opinion about the show. I thought they had some good stuff. The show was all right.
That's not enough, Denise. Let me get one more sentence.
What do you mean, one more sentence? That was my thoughts on the show.
I need more, Denise. This is the AEW Dynamite post show.
Well,
give
I'm going to break everything down in a second. And once I get to everything in a second, I will definitely break it down.
Denise is ducking and dodging, you guys. Already. You see this?
Ronald Hollick. By the way, Ronald, you're one of the winners for my DWO Royal Rumble pool.
Awesome.
I was waiting actually for his response. I don't think he's seen it yet. Go to the community section. I've been waiting on the two winners to email me. So heads up.
Ronald.
He says, think Tony's big announcement is if he could be the Mercedes' Think Tony's big announcement, it could be the Mercedes date reveal for March in Boston, similar to the first dance at United Center for CM Punk. So if he were to do something like that and basically announce like a special show for that date, and then he gives it a fancy name so that we're all sitting here going, that's the one. Because when they announced CM Punk, the first dance, and they did the United Center and all of that, everyone knew that it was CM Punk just by all of the hints that they had been giving. I do think that they could do something like that, similar for Mercedes.
Does that count as this big? Would that satisfy this big announcement that they're saying for Tony Khan if he says, hey, we're going to be at blah, blah, blah for Boston? But they don't, he doesn't say that Mercedes is going to be there. Is that satisfying enough, do you think, Denise?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And if people don't get it, then that's on them. Yeah, that would be on them. You know, he can only tell you so much, right?
Yeah, we got to like, we could softball the thing, but you got to hit it.
Yes, exactly. Mike T90K says Valentine's Day Dynamite is going to slap. Yo, for reals. When is that? Next week or the week after?
2 weeks, I think.
2 weeks? Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got to come in like really cute, Reg.
Do we?
You got some pink on you?
I mean, I got this purple hat on right now.
Yeah, I know. But that, you need some pink.
I got a pink something somewhere. I don't know. I'll figure
it out. Pop in with some pink and we'll celebrate Valentine's Day.
Corporations, you guys. It's all a made up construct. You and your, I'll be here.
Alexander Fitzgerald says the commentary during Deonna and Taya match was hilarious. Taz referencing Jeff Harvey and Mike Adamly had me in tears. Oh yes. Man, I still can't believe Mike Adamly, bro. He had some moments where I was like,
that's going to be you trying to interview Taylor Swift. It's crazy as hell. Like,
oh,
I can't.
No. I would kill myself. I would kill myself if I like went on and was like, hi, this is Taver Sift.
Taver Sift.
I would just like end it right there.
Taver Sift. Imagine he's you're killing me tonight, Denise.
Hunter Tillman says, I can't see Mercedes popping up at Revolution. That night should be all about Sting. Also, I can't imagine Okada in WWE. He'd be so limited. Am I wrong in thinking that? Plus, amazing Rumble interviews this past weekend, Denise. Thank you so much, Hunter. So I do not expect Mercedes at Revolution either. Yeah. And the primary reason besides Sting, you know, that being Sting's night, is also that I'm still thinking that she's still recovering from her injury. And I think that's the reason why we haven't seen her just yet. And then also when it comes to Okada and WWE, it's like the same reason why I feel like everyone asks me like, oh, you know, do you think he's going to go to AEW or WWE? I always say AEW because he seems like he's going to fit in AEW a lot more, because AEW puts on a certain type of match that you don't really get in WWE. That's not to say that we don't get certain great matches in WWE. It's just very different.
Yeah, I understand why people want Okada. They want like the moments in WWE. They want like the moments. They want the WrestleMania. They want the stare downs. They want all that. But just like, he could be instantly inserted into so many things. If he goes to AEW, he has the Young Bucks. He has Kenny. He has, I mean, anything and anybody in AEW just fits better over there. But I do understand why people want him in WWE. And yeah, I don't think Mercedes is going to be there to step on Sting's moment. Nobody's going to step on Sting moment at Revolution. Revolution is all about Sting. And Denise, how many interviews have you done in the last week? Like 50? Like, how do you do it?
So I think in the last month, it's been 36. Woo! And there was 28 in total for this week.
28 this week?
Yeah, from Friday through Sunday.
Oh my God.
I know. And it was like, oh my God, dude, I came home and I just like rushed to my computer and was like, well, actually, it was funny because a lot of people were really, and here's the thing, if you're an editor, it's not really a big deal. So for those of you here who know about editing, it's not really that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But for those that don't know about editing, I had a lot of people come up to me and they were like, oh my God, you're editing in between your interviews? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. And I'm like, not really. I'm just like being proactive here. Like, why am I going to waste time standing here waiting for the next interview when I could be uploading an interview? And so a lot of people were really impressed by that. But I was like, nah, I don't think it's that impressive. But either way, it got me to get things up like really fast because I was working in between the just waiting around. Because there's lulls when you're in the meet, not in the red carpet, because the red carpet tends to move a lot faster because it's shorter interviews. But when you're in the media day, certain interviews can last like 8 minutes or so. So you're just waiting around. That's 8 minutes waste of my time. Right. So that's how I utilize my time to get my content up as fast as possible.
Wow. I mean, and with how much you're doing, if you're doing 28 interviews, you legit have to use every piece of time you have to be editing or doing something. Yeah. You don't even have time to just sit around for 8 minutes at this point.
No, man, no. Honestly, you really, really don't. Like, I think one of those days, I didn't even eat dinner. I didn't even have time. It was just like, oh, shit, dinner's off the table. It's 10 o'clock.
You better eat food if you're out there grinding like that, young lady. Careful. But no, but dope. You guys definitely check out Denise's channel. Like, she's interviewed everybody in every company. She doesn't stop. She's ridiculous. She needs to take a nap and eat a sandwich.
Yeah, I got a new wrinkle in Tampa, by the way. I'm not even kidding you. I keep track of this.
Coming back with a new wrinkle is crazy.
I did. It was this eye. This, it went away, but this eye kind of folded over like this.
Oh my God. Eat some food and take a nap, Denise. Jeez.
I need Botox. Alan Jeanette says, congratulations on the Super Bowl gig. Denise, you're working harder than CVV. You know what that means?
What?
DMS is here. DMs. Mm-hmm. Since Chris Van Vliet has CVV, I'm going to do DMs.
Oh, DMs.
My middle like initials that. With an M.
Gotcha. DMs. I'm caught up.
I know. No one knows that. I don't know why I said that. All right. Darren Walls, thank you so much for becoming a new DWO member. All right. So, we talked about the Tony Khan announcement. The other thing I want to get right to for Dynamite is the Dealer's Choice matches.
Yeah.
We had two matches that were Dealer's Choice, and basically Hangman would pick the match for Swerve, and Swerve would pick the match for Hangman. Now, this was done very, very well, because if you notice, when they promoted this match, when they announced it, not once did they say that the person picks their opponent. So he didn't say Hangman picks his opponent. He specifically says they pick the match. Mm. And Hangman was very, very smart about that particular aspect of it. And we ended up getting two matches here. So we had Hangman versus Toa Leona, which was announced a little bit in advance. And then we had Swerve Strickland versus Rob Van Dam, which was teased on Collision. So if you heard Hangman say the whole effing show, I think for the most part, everybody put two and two together and figured that out. But for some people, it may have been a surprise, especially if you missed Collision. You might have missed that little tidbit there. But I want to start off by talking about the Hangman versus Toa Leona match, because Reg, I'm gonna be completely honest with you, completely honest with everybody here. When I saw that this was gonna be the match, I was like, that's a little bit of a downer. I just felt like we hadn't seen much of Toa Leona. I know he's undefeated, but we hadn't seen much of him like at all, really. So I didn't, especially in a single side of things. So I didn't know what to expect. And I kind of thought like, oh, I thought it would be like a bigger name, a bigger opponent for Hangman. Right. And that was my honest to God reaction to this. With that being said, they did a really good job here of presenting Toa Leona. First of all, they hyped up the fact that he's undefeated in AEW. They had him go out there and just be like this mad, creepy madman in the ring, dominate Hangman Adam Page, going out there with headbutts, thrust kicks, diving cross bodies, you name it. This was good. What did you think?
Yeah, Denise, I think everybody kind of had that collective thing when they announced this match with Toa. It was like, oh, you know, we kind of are expecting these things. There's rumors about people that could potentially be in this match. We don't know. I knew if people watch Collision, they did a promo with Swerve and Toa that I thought was great. Like, Toa looked like scary and Swerve looked like badass. I was like, all right, this is a good sign right here. But then they get to the match. I've been seeing Toa in, you know, the Mogul Embassy. He's been featured on Ring of Honor a lot. So I know the kind of brawling and the kind of style that this guy was going to bring. I knew that in a match with Hangman, it would be great. But the way that they did it was even better than I kind of expected, Denise. I think everybody was like, whoa, Toa's like, we've been seeing him in a tag team. We've seen him in multi-man matches, but we never seen him singles. And he's a contender. He's one to watch out. He was throwing everything at Hangman. Hangman hit him with the Deadeye, and he just got right back up. Like, there's all these things. He looks like a real big monster, and they don't have a lot of monsters that are believable these days, especially in main event angles like this with the main event player like Hangman Page. But I think that made Hangman Page look even more badass, Denise, because he had to give Toa every single thing that he had in this match and had to almost kill this man in order to beat him. And I think that energy going into what is going to potentially happen with Swerve is a great idea. But I think this match might have been even better for Toa than it was for Hangman.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Right? 100%, like, thinking about
it. Yeah. Yeah, because it's like Hangman, we know what Hangman can do. We don't know what Toa Leona can do to a certain extent. I know we've seen him in the, you know, in three ways and all of this stuff, but in a single spotlighted match for him with Hangman, this was definitely a win for him. There was two things that I forgot to mention that I also really liked. There was a moment where he went and he did a moonsault, but Hangman Page moved out of the way. But usually when we see that the wrestler is going to move out of the way, the wrestler that's doing the spot usually lands on their feet, right? And so it's almost like this anticipation, but freaking Toa, he just went straight down and did the moonsault and bam, hit the mat. And I kind of like that a little bit more. I know it's probably not like, you know, the best. He's taking an additional bump, you know, but for a selfish viewer like me, I definitely enjoyed that part, but I also loved the finish because Hangman went for the buckshot lariat, but freaking Toa Leona avoided it. So he never actually took the buckshot lariat and he was going to do something else. We never really got to see what he was trying to do, but Hangman managed to just grab him for a kick, a quick roll up, and he gets the win. So it was very, very sudden where it's almost like he just made it. He was just able to escape and win against this madman. I really loved that.
Yeah, really dope finish. The Samoan drop. He drops Hangman, and then Hangman rolls him up and trying to a crucifix pin. Great way for both of them to get out of this match. Kind of, there's wins and losses. People hate taking wins and losses, but in this loss, Toa looked awesome, and Hangman barely getting through Toa with this roll up makes him look good too. Like, I think this match accomplished exactly what it needed to do.
Yeah, I think so too. This was definitely a win. And again, given the fact that I didn't really care about it when it was announced, I was like, oh, really? It ended up being good. All right. Yep. But let's get to the main event. Swerve versus Rob Van Dam. But as I mentioned earlier, they were very specific in the wording of how they promoted this. And they said that you pick each other's match, not just opponent, match. And let's not forget Hangman Adam Page was a teacher. He pays attention to wording because he came out and surprised Swerve, not just with the fact that RVD was going to be his opponent, but that this was also going to be a hardcore match. Yep. Swerve barely has any time, turns around, bam, RVD freaking gets him with the chair, bam, Van Daminator. Continues on, we get this hardcore match between both guys. Of course, Swerve gets his victory, but with the Swerve stomp. But what did you think of the entire body of this match?
I thought this was really cool. Again, RVD having the old Pantera ECW song. RVD still looks good for a man his age. It's insane. All the RVD lore that you'd love to see was here. He was hitting all the leg drops. He was putting Swerve on the ring barrier and hitting the spin kicks and all that. All the chair spots. Fans, I still hate you with these We Want Tables. That's the worst chant in wrestling, I think. You're going to get them. Be patient, dude. Like, as soon as they said hardcore, people were like, tables. And it's like, dude, let the match build first. They're going to come. They got a table spot. RVD hit Swerve with a chair. Swerve fell out of the ring onto a table. Swerve, I think, in this position, the way that he does false finishes and the way that they kick out, something about him that just makes his matches feel bigger. It's a little thing that is really cool. Him against the RVD's a big dude. People don't know because, like, coming up in the early 2000s and kind of that era, everybody was huge, so he didn't look that big. But, like, it's like with Billy Gunn. You see Billy Gunn with today's people, you're like, damn, this fool's huge. That's kind of how RVD is, too. Really big guy, still has that presence, still plays up to the crowd, still is as fun as ever. I thought this is a really fun way to do this Dealer's Choice match, especially leaving that kind of open for a few days, Denise. They gave out a whole bunch of hints throughout the show, like, oh, they say he's not going to last more than 4 minutes and 20 seconds. It was weed in the green room, all this stuff like that. Like, I thought it was a really good way to do it and great execution on the end of it.
Hell yeah. I think you were right on this, by the way. He was out there playing the greatest hits. That's what he does. And that's what a lot of the legends do, right? But that's what we want to see. We don't want to see new stuff. I mean, I don't even mind new stuff, right? But it's like, that's what we want to see. We mark out for all of these big moments, and that's what we got. We also, after this match, Hangman Page comes out to congratulate Swerve Strickland. He calls him an evil bastard, points out that they're both still undefeated here in AEW for this year of 2024. And he tells him, I'm going to be the next champion. However, Swerve reminds him that he's beaten him twice and that Hangman can't beat him. And Swerve is then told that he can't lace the boots of Hangman. And we kind of get this back and forth. Eventually, this leads to a new matchup. Next week, we are going to be getting part three of Swerve and Hangman Page. Winner will go on to face Samoa Joe at AEW Revolution. Predictions, Reg. What are you thinking? Can Swerve defeat Hangman for a third time?
I mean, wrestling history shows, Denise, it's not a good sign for wrestling history and Swerve if we're counting this. In the promo, he says, I beat you twice. You're mad, Hangman, because you know that you can't beat me. This whole reason that you're upset is because two times I've already showed you that I'm the guy. But I'm going to humor you and give you this last match. History shows 2-0. It should be Hangman, but you just never know in this situation. I think them both being played up with the rankings, they're going to announce the full rankings later tonight, they said. Them both kind of being undefeated and in this lead, having these great matches. And now they're going to lead to part three. I didn't know that we were going to get part three in this position. After part two, Denise, this is really my question. What do you do after part two? Like, because that was one of the most violent matches we've ever seen. Do you just do a straight up match, holds for holds, or do you try to go crazier?
You can't. I'm not expecting them to go and do a death match style match. Like, mm-hmm. I'm expecting this to be a straightforward fight. That's what I'm expecting here, but minus, I don't know. You think they're going to do, because we're not going to have freaking Hangman Page drinking blood.
I couldn't see it.
On cable television.
No.
We're not going to be getting that.
No.
So I think we're going to be getting a mix of the first match and their second match combined in one. You see what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
A little bit of violence, maybe not as much. Maybe more so focused on the pro wrestling aspect of it.
Yeah, but I think kind of like where the story's leading, you got to have a little bit of the violence somewhere in there. You know what I mean? Just be with the story that they're telling. But yeah, I could see this match going a couple ways. As far as the winner, I don't know. It's like it could potentially not be Swerve's time right now. What if Hangman gets the victory and it's Samoa Joe and Hangman Page at the pay-per-view? Or does Swerve beat Hangman and it's Swerve and Samoa Joe at the pay-per-view? I don't really know. They've been kind of maybe telling the story that this is going to be a triple threat match, Denise. I don't know where I'm landing at with this.
So we had been talking about this for a while, and I know a lot of people here in the chat were like, triple threat. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm still thinking they're going to do. But the only way to get that is a time limit draw. Now, AEW has done multiple time limit draws, but not so much so that it's common. They spaced them out enough for the fans to kind of forget a little bit. Can you see that happening?
I don't know. I've seen a couple people mention it in the chat, and I think that's probably the perception. My thing is there a way to get to that match, to a triple threat match, without there being a draw? Like, is there any other scenario that could play out?
No.
That it still ends up being at the end of this match, you're like, I want to see both of these guys in the match against
this ain't no participation trophy, Reg. If one guy wins, the other one is out.
Okay.
That's it. No participation trophies.
I guess what I'm trying to say is they're going to be telegraphed. If they're like, all right, next week's match is a 30-minute time limit and they're giving it up and everybody's kind of expecting this draw, like, is that the way that you want to go about it?
Probably not. Mm. Here's the thing. I want two options here. These are the two options that I will take. All right? Swerve defeating Hangman for a third time, because that would be cool and unprecedented. Like you said, mm-hmm. history says that Hangman Adam Page is going to win this third fight. I think if Swerve were to win it, it would be a bigger deal. Okay? Yes. Now, Hangman Page is already a made man on AEW.
True.
Swerve is making his way there. Swerve defeating Hangman Page for a third time would be the story to go with. Mm. However, if they don't do that, I do think if Hangman Page defeats Swerve and it's Hangman Page versus Samoa Joe, then they completely undid everything that they have been doing to build up Swerve to this moment.
You think so? You think if they take Swerve out of this, that No, that takes everything away.
If they do Hangman Page, Samoa Joe at Revolution, yes.
Okay.
So that's why I think it's got to be Swerve defeating Hangman to go on to face Samoa Joe, or they do that time limit draw or whatever so that we end up getting a triple threat match. I would take those two scenarios.
You just don't take Hangman versus Samoa Joe one-on-one. You can't take that.
Any other time, I would love it. But I do think that it would undo a lot of what they've done to build up Swerve at the moment.
Okay, so do at the match at Revolution, does anyone need to beat Samoa Joe for you to be satisfied?
So you're saying that if Swerve defeats Hangman and wins the title that way.
Are you into that?
I think that you have to beat the champion because the champion is the champion. It has to be either Hangman pinning Samoa Joe or Swerve pinning Samoa Joe.
That's where triple threat matches get tricky because you and especially with these wins and losses things, and they want to keep everybody strong. It's like,
I wouldn't want to see a new champion be birthed out of not pinning the previous champion.
Agreed. Okay. So that leads me to believe maybe Samoa Joe could win that match.
The match of Revolution?
If they do a triple threat match.
No.
You don't think so?
No. It's got to be Swerve.
You think this is Swerve's moment. We can't get around
at Revolution?
Yeah,
it has to be.
Does it have to be?
Yes. Because at this point, why are you holding off on it? Give me one good reason to hold off on not having Swerve win the AEW World Championship.
Samoa Joe.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right. Ah, damn. I don't know, Reg.
Honestly, Denise.
Okay,
like,
fine.
How Samoa Joe has been, I'm like, I don't know. Is it time to get it off of him? Maybe let him cook a little longer. Because so far, we're knocking it out of the park, you know?
I see where you're going with this. Okay. So then if Samoa Joe defeats Hangman, Swerve could be like, he didn't beat me. I had him won. Whatever happens, happens. And then all of a sudden, we get Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland one-on-one. And that's
another
where you
time.
Make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere else.
All right, Reg.
And honestly, I just think that Sting, like I'm still thinking about Sting too. So maybe we don't crown a new world champion when Sting's in the main event, you know?
Yeah, but it's like, regardless, people are still going to be reacting the way they're going to react for Sting. Like a lot of people are going to that show to see Sting.
So maybe that all same thing. And then that's taking away from the world title match because everybody's just here to see Sting. Because
no,
there's going to be some people
that they're not fans of what they want to see on AEW. Like, why can't we get both things?
But
why
I think
get
that
both things?
At this show specifically and where it is, there's a lot of people that are going to be there that only care about Sting, that are only here for this main event and don't care about nothing else in this match. So maybe cater to them. I don't know. It's already sold out. You know what I mean?
All right. I see what you're saying. Let's see what the people here are saying. Thank you so much to Darren Walls, by the way, for becoming a new DWL member. Ronald Hollick says, do you feel Forbidden Door pay-per-view now with the New Japan and CMLL can take place in Arena Mexico in Mexico or possibly in Japan for 3 years of this event? First of all, I would say that I would love for them to do an event in Mexico. We're going to be talking about the CMLL guys in just a minute here, but I would love that because first of all, I would be able to go. So that's exciting. Honestly, that'd be very exciting. And it would be something different, something that we haven't seen, especially for an American promotion to go down and actually do a live televised event. Because obviously WWE, they go to Mexico a whole lot, but they're house shows. We never actually see them.
Which is weird. By the way, you would think by now they would be broadcasting those shows. But I know like it gets kind of crazy in Mexico too with like territories and things and they don't be wanting people on TV. But that would be amazing to see a Forbidden Door show at Arena Mexico with everybody kind of present. The CMLL thing we're going to get into a little bit here in the show, I think is awesome. The first angle that they shot here tonight was dope. So yeah.
Arena Mexico, Reg.
Arena Mexico.
Arena Mexico.
Arena Mexico. All right.
Now say Arena Mexico. I want to hear you say
Arena. Arena. Arena.
Not bad. Not bad. Two thumbs up. Or maybe one. Arena.
Arena. Arena. Arena.
You have a very, very like thick way of presenting it. Honestly, it's not bad though. I'll tell you that much. You could just be walking around going, "Where's Arena?
Where's the Arena?"
It's not bad. People would know what you're talking about. All right. Lawrence Ross says, "Join late with listening to Bode. Did you discuss Wardlow's match? I just can't had to FF that match. Predictable show. Love the rest of the show." Well, let's get to it then. Commander versus Wardlow. All right. So I kind of had, I would say I felt about 90% of it. I enjoyed maybe 10% I didn't enjoy from this match. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was bad. I definitely liked the moment where there was one moment that I like when Wardlow tossed Commander. I thought that was kind of cool where they did like a little helicopter toss, that type of thing. But the majority of the match that I loved was when Commander was being Commander, doing his rope walk, doing his drop kick to Wardlow, doing the Phoenix Splash, going for the near fall, and then eventually he loses. He gets a power bomb, and Wardlow wins this match. So I liked all of the parts that I just mentioned.
Denise, at the end, it looks like Wardlow maybe got hurt, though. You saw that?
I didn't catch that. What happened? Yeah. I missed that.
It looked like on the power bomb, he just like looked like his leg, like it buckled a little bit, and like afterwards, he's like in his face, he's like cursed, like it looks. He looks visibly upset at the end of the match. So I don't know if there's anything to that. People have been asking in the chat too. And I don't know if there's anything to his injury. I'm sure we'll hear more about it. But yeah, I've talked that I don't like too much about what Wardlow's doing on this show, but I don't want anybody to be hurt. That really sucks.
Yeah,
especially with kind of how his career and trajectory has been going. This would be a really bad time to be hurt. So hopefully he's all right.
Especially because he was off of TV for such a long time.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Imagine coming back and potentially being in this good position. They've been talking about he's going to get a world title shot and then he gets hurt again. That would really suck.
Let me ask a question. Based on the precedent that's set with Adam Cole going out there, even though he's injured, do you send Wardlow out there, even though he's injured? And then you just have two injured guys in the Undisputed Kingdom?
Denise, you better not. Don't even talk about this in a fake jest or whatever. That's so ridiculous. I do like on commentary how Adam Cole was like, "I feel like a $1 million or something like that." And Taz was like, "Well, besides like your leg being, besides not being able to walk, like, yeah, you can feel like all you want in the world, but you can't walk." And if they have the guy protecting the guy is also hurt, Denise, I don't care nothing about this group. I'm going to kick all your legs out or just install stairs so none of you guys could chase me.
Well, hopefully he's not injured, but if he is, I think it's best just to have that time away to heal and whatnot, because then it would just be like, it would just take a lot from the presentation of the group already.
Two fools on crutches, that'll look crazy, Denise. Come on. Don't do these guys like that.
Oh, man, that would be messed up. Yeah, that would be messed up. Sheldon Jackson says, "Well, the rankings are out and Swerve is in the number one spot and Paige in number two. Copeland in number three is interesting to me." Why he's been doing his, what is it called again? You have to remind me every week what it's called.
The Cope Cup? Copeland.
Cope Open. I always call it Cope something else. I always call it something else. The Cope Cup. What is it again? The Cope Open?
The Cope Oakland.
Yeah. Why can't I remember Cope that?
Oakland.
It's just not something that rolls off the tongue. Cope
no,
Open.
No, it's not. Nah.
It's like Cope I have Open. To stop, hit the brakes, and then go.
Mm-hmm. Cope Open. See, I'm screwed up saying it now, but yeah. What do you think
Cope
about
cup.
That, Denise? Because like,
even though there's no cup involved.
Cope Cup. The Adam Cope. The Coping Count Challenge.
It's a terrible name. I hate it.
What do you think about him kind of? Because he's been talking about challenging Christian. Do you think he's going to be in the mix for the world title?
Adam Copeland?
Yeah.
At some point, you would think so. I wouldn't want him to win, but I would think, I wouldn't mind him getting a shot. And like maybe, for example, wrestling Samoa Joe, wrestling Swerve. That's just another victory for whoever's the champion. I wouldn't mind it, honestly, but definitely not to win. But to give him some good opponents, some good challengers. Oh, hell yeah. Go for it.
I know that him and Swerve have like a pretty good relationship and they've had one for a while. So that would be dope. But yeah, you can't have a Hall of Fame world title challenger like Adam Copeland and not have him challenge for the world title. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, especially coming off of that match with Minoru Suzuki. Man, give the guy a shot here. Let's go. Lawrence Ross says, "Hey, Denise and Reg, I kind of want to wait on Swerve so Joe has a good title run."
See?
Well, how long has Joe been champion now?
Not long. He just won it at World's End.
All right, so it's been a
month ago. Yeah.
and revolutions in March. That's 2 months.
That's enough, Denise.
I guess so.
I don't care about long title reigns. Yeah, I do care
about long title reigns. I like long title reigns.
But I don't think this. Samoa Joe's definitely not here for a long title reign. I think if we just, it'll satisfy me if he has a couple more defenses on the way to Revolution. If it's just like he's been this last couple of weeks and just then on commentary, then no.
But yeah, I see what you mean.
You know, let him get his shit in on the way, then it'll be better. But right now, it's like I like what he's doing, but I kind of rather see him beat somebody up.
Right. It seems like he's just not the focus right now. The focus is Hangman and Swerve. It feels like Samoa Joe's just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got Mike T90K who says, if I'm TK, I'm putting Forbidden Door in Madison Square Garden. That'll show how stupid and silly it is. Wait, I don't get it.
Because MSG, that's WWE territory and stuff.
Oh, but I didn't get what you meant by how stupid and silly it would be.
Remember in the press conference, Triple H is talking about how stupid and silly the Forbidden Door is.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Went out the door.
He was there too, you guys.
I was there too. I forgot. All right. I've only been to Madison Square Garden one time. Same. And it was for the Ring of Honor New Japan show. Yeah. Were you there for that?
I was there.
Yeah. Damn, we didn't know each other.
We didn't. Mm-mm. Nope. Just wrestling fans in a building. I was way up high, but it still was an amazing experience for sure.
Ronald Hollick says that CMLL angle reminded me of the Radicals' debut, the 24th year anniversary during that angle. And it was also on January 31st, 2000. Wow, so 24 years later, we get another angle.
That's right. Yeah, super cool stuff going on there. They announced that match for next week. That's going to be even more insane. So, this is dope.
Let's get to that. Let's talk about how this all went down and what actually happened here. All right. So we had John Moxley. Alexander Fitzgerald said, cope dope.
Cope dope. I'm like, why's Denise
laughing? Yeah. Okay. You're not going to believe this. That kind of ran through my mind when I was trying to remember the names.
Oh my God. That's so why I got you good.
That's why you got me. Oh man. I can't anymore. John Moxley versus Jeff Hardy. There was a really nasty spot in this, or a nasty moment where Moxley was like pulling in and out the earring of Jeff Hardy. I was like, oh, you just know that's stinky. You know, you just know it. You just know it. That's nasty. Reg, you know it.
It does stink. But I don't know. He might clean his things, Denise, before the match. You think he went in with sticky lobes?
I got secondhand stink from that. That was honestly what was crossing through my mind during this. But anyways, fun little back and forth match. John Moxley wins via submission. But what we had here on the outside was we had CMLL wrestlers there. We had Volador Jr., who, by the way, is literally one of my favorites. We had Místico, Máscara Dorada, as well as Hechicero.
They're gonna kick you out of the coalition talking like this.
They're gonna be like, she's too white for us. She's not Mexican. I lost my Mexican card.
Come on, right on camera, Denise.
I'm sorry, a lot of pressure. I felt the pressure here. I can't even say Cope Cup. Oh, Cope Open. Come on now.
The Cope.
Hechicero. There you go. It took me a second. God. People out here are gonna be like, she's just a whitewashed Mexican.
You did it, Denise.
She's just a gringa.
Arena.
Echi horchata. What? All right, Reg, I'm sweating in here.
Oh my God. This is so ridiculous.
We had Hechicero, we had Místico, we had Máscara Dorada, we had Volador Jr. Let's talk about this. They all attacked John Moxley.
Mm-hmm. Very cool stuff right here. John Moxley. I love just the angle of the match was great, I think, by the way, too. Jeff Hardy has been kind of reestablishing himself. We've all been a fan of Jeff Hardy for so long that the shenanigans and everything that's kind of happened, we like, oh, forget. But like the last couple of weeks, he's shown that even without all the high flying and crazy stuff, he's still just a really good worker and put into positions he could have great matches. Put him in there with John Moxley. Great idea. John, I like the precedence of John Moxley starting Dynamite just because he's so AEW that it feels like the only way to do it. But I thought the ending angle was even cooler, having the luchadors come in, Moxley immediately being like, oh, you guys want to fight? And then everybody just fighting, but no BCC friends there to help him. He got jumped. Really cool angle. Brian is wrestling on Saturday. The CMLL
against who, Reg? Against who?
I'm gonna
against who, Reg? Tell us. Who's he wrestling?
You tell.
you tell us.
Henichesero. Henichesero, I think his name is.
I'm dead. Where'd you?
His name's not Henichesero.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, my God.
All right. Hechicero. I don't even know what we're saying anymore.
You can't say it either.
Now, I've second guessed myself now. All right. Ooh. What the hell are we talking about? All right.
I have no idea.
So it looks like we're doing BCC
yes.
Versus the CMLL guys. This is pretty cool. I think this was a really like exciting thing that they're doing here. And it's different for AEW.
It is. Yeah. I think I saw who did this Lucha. Oh, I was just at the West Coast Pro Show and I saw one of these six-man Lucha matches up close. And I was thinking they need to be doing more six-man type matches on AEW TV and Dynamite and Collision. And I think this is kind of the start of that. They brought in some big players, like you've said. Volador Jr. is like a big star. And so having these guys kind of here to set it off, I think is a really good way. And they're putting them in there with Mox, Claudio, and Bryan Danielson. So you know how important it is to them and this partnership. So this is cool.
So there's some good things to know here because you kind of touched on something that spiked an interest in me here. First of all, with Volador Jr., he is the one that I would say out of all of these guys is the most complete guy that you have there, because not only can he perform the high flying style, but he can also do the technical style as well. So very, very complete and all that. The new Máscara Dorada, I think, is actually one of the more spectacular ones that we've had. So that's something that's exciting. And they're all just like technically sound, all of them. So what you're going to get is this very like fun collaboration of, you know, CMLL in AEW. And then I don't know, man, I'm really excited for this. I think this could be something cool. And the other reason why I think this is cool, and I've talked about this on a couple of podcasts, is that I always feel like for a lot of times we always see them pair the Latino people against the Latino people. They're always like feuding against each other. And I'm like, why aren't they ever feuding with some of the other people on the roster? Like, we can mix it up, man. Mm-hmm. And so for me to see the CMLL guys against the BCC, I'm like, all right, that's different. Let's do it. And so that's something that I've been wanting to see a little bit of as well.
Yeah, I think this whole thing is cool, especially in contrast to what the AAA wrestlers kind of bring, because they have a lot of the AAA guys, specifically Commander and Vikingo, are high flyers. They do some of the craziest shit that you've ever seen in your life. The CMLL guys are more like you said, technically sound. They're ground-based. They do a lot of brawling type stuff. So I think this is going to be a big difference. Like, these guys are, you could compare them to like how Roosh brings his style. That's what like Volador
Jr. You can't even say Volador Jr.
Volador Jr. I don't want to speak this anymore. I want to move on.
Reg, say El Chupacabras.
I can't say all that.
Say El Chupacabras.
El Chupacabras.
Say La Llorona.
La Llorona. See, I can say some of these things. Come on, Denise.
Say El Borracho.
El Borracho.
Well, that one, so you didn't say that one too bad. Yeah, but you need to work on Chupacabras.
I'll work on it. Send me a list.
All right, I'll send you a list. I'm just going to start giving you a bunch of hard words in Spanish with a bunch of different sounds.
What's the that? CMLL thing is cool. That's all I want to say. I can't pronounce nobody's name, but they're all awesome.
I love it. All right, we got Jared Clark here. No, Gerard. God damn it. Every single time.
Now you can't. All right.
I can't even say the names in like English.
All right. They bring the brother names in here. I like it. That's how it's supposed to be. Like, they bring a brother in here so you can say his name wrong and help everything
out. So you knew it was Gerard?
I mean, come on. Gerard.
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 Gerard. Okay, well, you know what? I can Jarrod. Say chupacabras, okay? I might not be able to say Gerard, but I can say chupacabras.
I need somebody named Tyrone to submit a super chat, please.
Oh, man. Every single time. He always tells me how to pronounce it, and every single time I fuck it up. All right. He says, hello, Denise. I hope I didn't miss anything. Yes. I really want Ty Mello and Anna Jay to win singles and tag team gold with AEW and any other promotion. Time to elevate the underutilized. Okay. I mean, I'm always here to elevate the underutilized. You know, it's just a...
Look, he even included it. Pronounced Gerard.
He always
right
does,
there.
And I always forget.
He always screw it up. Sorry,
Gerard. Because I always see his name first, and then I see that part. It always messes it up.
Shameful. Appreciate you, Gerard.
Say chupacabras.
We've already saw that. I can't say shit, all right?
Oh, man.
Ridiculous.
I come. Melissa Caveo says, send him the Loteria card. Reg, next time you come, we're playing Loteria.
Loteria. I think I played Loteria before. You put the beans on the thing.
Yeah. I played all that. All right, cool. But next
time I live in California, Denise.
Okay. But you got to be the one to do to say the cards so that you could learn as you're saying them.
Right. Okay.
It's a good way. It's a good way of learning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although you're only going to know those words and nothing else, but you'll know something for sure.
It's all about baby steps.
Baby steps, exactly. But you know what to tell you? Before I take baby steps, I got to have myself a good breakfast. And you know what that good breakfast is? Magic Spoon. My New Year's resolution is to cut back on sugar and add more protein to my diet to help me stay on track of my fitness goals this year. And Magic Spoon makes that easier and more delicious than ever. Magic Spoon comes in a variety pack. The four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. My favorite flavor is the fruity one. Head on over to magicspoon.com/Denise to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use my promo code Denise at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, start the new year off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/Denise and use the code Denise to save $5 off. All righty, guys. A heads up. Who made that?
Somebody made this already.
Shut the front door.
Somebody on Twitter made this already.
Stop it.
Twitter user at the Tony Shade.
Thank you so much to Tony Shade. That's pretty freaking cool.
How did you make that so fast?
But doesn't it look like it could be a real show?
It does. You people are wild out here. I don't know how he made that so fast, but here we go.
Jeez, bro, I'm about to start freaking calling up Will and be like, yo, I got a pitch for you. That's insane. Oh my gosh. You know, someone's going to see that and be like, oh, wow, the new announcement is AEW Cannonball.
I can't believe they announced AEW Cannonball. This is wild.
Oh, man. We got Gerard.
God, oh my God, Denise.
Gerard Clark, he hates me. Tell everyone in my chat your name. Gerard Clark. Why can't I say it? It's just like, get stuck in there.
Oh, geez. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you so much. And I'm so sorry I mess up your name all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep thinking, you know what it is? It's that Jared from Subway guy, that freaking weirdo.
No, don't think of him. Ew.
But yeah, but he's the only Jared I know. I don't know any other Jared. Mm-mm. Do you know another Jared?
Gerard Carmichael is who I know. Come on.
Hate that Jared guy from Subway, by the way.
He's gross.
Him. F him. All right. Let's continue on with the show. We got to talk about Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. So they have a bunch of little skits throughout the show. Mm-hmm. They fine one guy by not calling them by their government name, fine him $500. They make Renee ask Darby a question about their admiration, his admiration towards the Young Bucks. How are you feeling this?
I liked it. I think I like them switching from the creepy mustaches to something else, giving recent events. They probably shouldn't be doing that. Switching.
They got rid of the mustaches?
Yeah, they had goatees this time.
Oh, shit. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, they had goatees instead of mustaches because they shouldn't have mustaches because you know what this mustache represents. But I think them kind of abusing their power. Renee did an interview with Darby Allin, and she was like, how do you feel about the Young Bucks? And he was like, what? And they came in from the side with their headsets on. This angle, I think, with them is really cool, especially considering if you've known the Young Bucks career, they've kind of been, I don't want to say the same characters, but the same kind of characters for like the last 15 years. And nothing against that. They're my favorite tag team of all time. But just like Nick and Matt Jackson, the colorful things, all this stuff. So for them to come and take kind of full 180 and switch their characters, I think it's a really dope move right here, Denise.
Yeah, I think so too. I like all of that. I'm excited to see how they continue to progress this. The finding of the $500 was funny. The bit that they did with Renee was pretty funny because it kind of threw me off too. Like, I don't think anyone expected it. Everyone was like, wait, why is she asking that, huh? Mm-hmm. And so it was actually very, very funny. Yeah. All right, we also had Sting and Darby backstage with Big Bill and Ricky Starks. And they're basically running down some of their history. Ricky Starks is recounting the match that he had with Sting. I was actually glad they brought that up because I had forgotten about that. So I liked that little nice reminder there. They promised to retain the titles. This match is happening next week. Any additional thoughts on this?
I thought this was a pretty pretty strong little backstage angle. Ricky Starks, I think, looks really good in this. Just kind of talking shit to everybody. Sting just kind of being like, dude, we're going to take your guys' titles. I don't care about all this. I'm Sting. Darby Allin being like, don't disrespect Sting. And Big Bill just kind of playing on the side. At one point, I heard Big Bill say, hit him. Like, he was trying to get Darby Allin to hit him. I thought all of this was really strong, especially kind of going into this match. I don't know why they didn't do this match in New Orleans. Isn't Ricky Starks from New Orleans? Doesn't he?
Isn't he? Yeah.
He did the promotion coming into this. He has the, I don't get it, but then he did the match on Rampage. I never know what's going on, but I'm excited about this match next week. Denise, are we of the idea that Sting and Darby are definitely winning this match next week?
Yes. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Interesting. Interesting take. I think we've all kind of talked about it and got here. So yeah, it should be interesting to see what they do next week. They loaded, like you said, this Phoenix show up. A lot of action, a lot of matches, and crowning Sting his first AEW championship, the tag team championship, I think it's going to be a big deal.
I agree. I like all of that. All right, we got a couple more things to get into before we press on here. And so let's get to it. Chris Jericho versus Kyle Fletcher. The crowd was into this, Reg. The crowd got invested in it. Like when Jericho had Kyle in the walls of Jericho, like people were really, really feeling it. There were some cool moments here. There was a moment where Kyle did a dive through the ropes, but instead Jericho gets them with the Judas effect. I thought that kind of looked pretty sick, actually. Judas effect off the top rope for the win. And then afterwards we have Kinosuke Takeshita come out and he says, we find out that he's going to be facing Chris Jericho next week on Dynamite. And we had been asking ourselves, where is Kinosuke Takeshita? What's he doing? How are they following this up considering he defeated Kenny Omega? Where is this guy? Well, he's back and he's going to be facing Jericho. How'd you feel about the match and what are your thoughts on Takeshita and Jericho?
I thought the match was good. Kyle Fletcher is on a run right now in Ring of Honor. He's a Ring of Honor television champion and all of his matches have been insane. He hit El Generico style brain buster. Didn't go as it usually goes because he has Jericho up there, but very scary stuff going on. Kyle Fletcher, I think, looks strong. He's a great seller, great bumper, hitting that outside Judas effect. The sell was really good. And the top rope Judas effect sell was dope. Takeshita has to come and throttle this old man next week, Denise. That's all I care about. It's him coming next week and beating Chris Jericho's ass. That's the only satisfying thing to this. Some people are saying in the chat that maybe Fletcher should have won. I could have seen Fletcher winning. I don't know. How many victories does Chris Jericho really need at this point?
None.
Yeah.
None. You know? But so. I think now that, God, I mean, I think just because he is Chris Jericho, they don't want to do like these, like, just get him to be defeated by Kyle Fletcher, who's, you know, isn't yet a star on the show. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the reason why. But, and I mean, God, I remember last time we had Action Andretti defeat Chris Jericho. That was such a big moment. Yeah. And we haven't seen Action Andretti in like the world's longest time. Mm-mm. So I feel like if they do have someone else defeat Chris Jericho, like Kyle Fletcher, they actually have to like really follow up on that.
Right. So that's probably why they're going to have Takeshita be the one to do it next week.
Yeah, he should. I mean, if he can beat Kenny Omega, he can beat Chris Jericho. That's for sure.
Right.
Okay. So I hope that that's what we end up seeing there. Mm-hmm. We have a super chat here from Gerard Clark. Yes. Says, that's okay. No big deal. I prayed that David Zaslav and Warner Brothers gives AEW a streaming deal and greenlight another streaming deal with Amazon Prime for Ring of Honor. Well, Ring of Honor's got Honor Club. Why would you kind of like, you know, there's a lot of resources in that. You wouldn't want to give that up, right?
Well, I mean, I think people want all of that, essentially that.
Oh,
that,
I see what you mean altogether. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think it's going to get pretty complicated. Like if they announce AEW with Warner Brothers or Max, that's another one that people have, if you're not paying for it, have to start paying for. And people kind of just want everything to be in one place, which makes
sense. I think so, too. Yeah, you got to put it all together. I would appreciate that too. Thank you so much for sending the super chat in. Appreciate that a whole lot. Actually, the last time I remember, someone brings it up. Alexis here says, Action Andretti drinking water all the time. Remember when we did the water bit? That was the last time I remember seeing Action Andretti on Dynamite. That was the last time, right? On Dynamite?
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they've been on TV. They're on Collision. They're on Ring of Honor. They're on Rampage. You don't watch any of those shows.
Did you see, by the way, the picture of Gypsy Rose and Ricky?
I did. Yeah, yeah. Gypsy Rose. That's the most random thing.
Is she a fan?
I mean, I would assume so. Like her boyfriend.
How'd she watch it? Like, do they put AEW? Like,
yeah, they show wrestling in jail. Definitely.
I'm sorry. I wouldn't know. I haven't been to jail.
I haven't either, but I know. That's all.
We don't know that. I thought agenda. That they put just like talk shows and like your local news. Like, I didn't even know they had cable.
The type of jail that she was in, Denise, she wasn't in like hard times lockdown jail. She was in like, there's TV on. She probably watched like Wheel of Fortune and shit, and also wrestling.
I'm stunned.
Yeah.
They got cable in jail.
And like her clientele, of course she likes wrestling. Duh.
God, that's so random, man. I just can't like fit it in my head, you know?
Yeah, these people be watching like music videos and they know all kind of stuff in jail.
Yeah, I know. She's also a big Taylor Swift fan. She came out and she said that she's like a really big Taylor Swift fan. And I was like,
who isn't at this point, right?
Yeah, but and then I figured, oh, I think music's a little bit different, you know? They might randomly play. So maybe she got a couple of CDs sent to her. But like, I didn't think she would be watching wrestling in jail. I just didn't think it. We'll see. All right, guys. Deonna Purrazzo versus Taya Valkyrie. Mm-hmm. What a night. What a week for TNA Wrestling. Yep. First, they get Jordynne Grace on Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. They have Naomi and Jordynne have their moment, two former TNA Knockouts champions. Then over on Dynamite, they got Deonna Purrazzo and Taya, who have viewed it a whole lot in TNA. What a week for TNA.
Yeah, I think that especially I think Jordynne Grace looks so strong physically and mentally, all the strongs you could look coming out of that match. She looked like one of the best participants in the whole match, and it got a lot of eyes on Impact / TNA Wrestling. And I think running back a match like this, Deonna and Taya had strong ties in TNA Wrestling or Impact Wrestling. So I think that, yeah, they're having a tremendous week. And beyond that, it's the women too, Denise, which I think makes it even more important. Like, their brand is getting built off of the great women's wrestlers that have came through there.
Yeah, I think so too. You made some good points about that. And so we get this match. It was a good match, but I really do think that Toni Storm being on commentary kind of shifted my focus a little bit. Am I wrong?
Yeah, yeah. I love the Toni Storm commentary thing. The bits that she does is all that. But this match, I think maybe could have just used these two women just going out there and being intense. They had some shenanigans out there where Toni Storm's got involved. And like her, it's great. But I think for this match, you probably could have just went with them going one-on-one, you know?
Exactly. Here's the thing. I agree with you with what you said. They just had to have them go out there one-on-one because really what you want to do is, one, for Deonna, you really want to set her up to these new people that haven't seen her wrestle and really show her skills. And Taya, someone who she's so familiar with, they could have easily done that. And then for Taya, we haven't, the AEW fans who never saw her in TNA Wrestling, I don't think that they have really seen Taya Valkyrie at her very, very best. And I think had they given them a little bit more time here, it would have been better. And I would have honestly suggested that they scrap one particular segment. Mm. that segment was the Bang Bang Scissor Gang segment. I'm sorry. Ooh, I know I'm heel. Am I heel for this?
No.
Or am I right? Because that was so boring and pointless.
That was a Rampage segment. No disrespect. Yes. Like, what was that, Denise? What, why did we need to see that?
They came out. They went to the ring. They brought out the juice board. And then they scissored. That was legitimately it.
I was like, why are we watching this? Oh, give me the mic, Dad, so we can watch Billy Gunn and his son. What, dude? Why are we seeing this? This is a Rampage angle. No disrespect again to Rampage. But, like, this is taking time away from wrestling that I love. I think we need stories. They could have told a different story with this, is just what I'm saying.
I was waiting for somebody to come out to signal a new feud, to signal some sort of next step. No. I don't know what the next step is here. Nothing. What's the next step?
Bang Bang Gang turning on the Acclaim, but like, so.
But that's going to be a while from now. They still got, they got to formulate some sort of bond first before we get emotionally attached.
I know. I don't know. I know.
This sucked.
It did.
You wanted my real thoughts? Remember earlier, you were, everybody was pressuring me to be out here saying all of these things? This Bullet Club Bang Bang Scissor Gang segment sucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel you. Let them have it. I have at it.
That's how I honestly felt about that. They should have scrapped that, given more time to Deonna and Taya, and gone from there. I'm not a fan right now of the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, so I hope that they start to step it up. But as of right now, I'm not sold.
Ooh, tough one. Yeah, they're just not really. It's, I think it's just they're not doing anything, Denise. It's like they keep having these segments and angles, and it's like, for a while, it's like, should we be a crew? And now they're a crew, but it's like, why? Who cares? What are you guys doing?
So Kyler James, by the way, who's our mod right now, thank you so much to Kyler. He says, I think it was just showing them bonding for their turn later. Okay, he's right on this. Mm-hmm. They are showing them bonding. Why can't they bond backstage?
They could have did that same bond backstage. Yeah.
Exactly. We didn't have to do this in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was just a waste of time all around. They could have accomplished so much more doing a music video, some rap or something with Max. I don't know. This was just weird.
Farron Wolf, as Keith says, don't worry, Denise, they are good in the ring. Oh, I know that. They're all great in the ring. So let's see it.
Let's have, let them have a match then.
Let's see it, honestly. But yeah, like we all know they're great, but it's just a matter of like, this was really just a little bit of a waste there. But there you go. That, my friends, was AEW Dynamite January 31st, 2024. Before we go, just a heads up to everybody. This week, I will be back on Friday to talk about SmackDown. I will not be here Saturday for Collision because my aunt is having a birthday party. She's having an 80s birthday party. Wow. So I bought this outfit from Amazon. I'm going to be all like 80s mode. And then Sunday, I will be here to do an NXT Vengeance Day post show. Reg, do you watch NXT?
Sometimes.
Are you down to watch NXT Vengeance Day on Sunday?
Sure, Denise. I'll be there.
Do you want a gig for that day?
I'll take a gig. I'll watch NXT. Who's on the show?
What's the main event? They got a pretty good card. They have Trick Williams versus Ilya Dragunov. That should be fun. Like they got the finals of the Dusty Cup Classic, which is going to be Trick and Carmelo versus Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. They're going to have Lyra Valkyra versus Roxanne Perez. Yeah, I think it'll be a fun show. I know pretty you don't watch NXT, but maybe we can get like a outsider's perspective on it.
I'll be there. You got me. I'm signed up. NXT.
Where's booked? I just booked Reg. Let's go. So Reg and I will be back here to talk about NXT Vengeance Day on Sunday. So if you guys want to come in and hang, it'll be a good time. I think that'll be a fun show because I watch NXT on a weekly basis. So I wonder how you and I are going to see this pay-per-view differently.
Well, I have to see where Okada's going to go, Denise. So it's interesting that I'll get to see it before he arrives there and takes over NXT on CW. Like, I want to see what happens before. This is cool. This is perfect. I've been wanting to see, like, Okada's going to go to WWE. They're going to change his name to, like, Rainmaker Okada or something weird.
Raindrop.
Like that. Raindrop Okada, and then he's going to be on NXT with like Von Wagner and those guys.
Now I got to tell you, I'm an NXT fan. I enjoy the show. Maybe from the last time you've seen it. When's the last time you watched NXT?
It's been a while. It's been a while. Probably since, I think I watched, what was the last pay-per-view?
Oh, you know when you watched it? No, I remember when you watched it, when we did the October 10th episode, when they had The Undertaker.
Oh, that was dumb. It's different since then?
I think it's been since then because you reviewed that show with me because we had to do AEW and that show simultaneously.
You're right. Yeah, Tuesday Night Slams or whatever. It's different since then, is what you're saying?
Yeah, honestly, I think the show's good. The women are, they're the best. They're the best. Like, they are phenomenal on that show. And I like Trick Mello a whole lot. Trick Mello gang, I like them a whole lot. They're killing it. Ilya Dragunov is my champion. You know, aside from Gunther, I think Ilya Dragunov's an awesome wrestler. So, yeah, I think it'll be a good show. And Roxanne and Lyra, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that everybody that they had in the Royal Rumble looked really strong. So, I am kind of interested in seeing what they're doing down there in NXT.
All right. Mike T90K says, happy birthday to you, Tia.
Yeah.
Oh, I will tell her. Y'all saw my aunt, though. Y'all would fall in love, though. My aunt's, like, really gorgeous.
Ooh, how old is she? Yeah. What's her name?
Yo, she's got four kids.
I don't care.
Actually, all my aunts are, like, pretty good looking, you know?
Are they?
Yeah.
What's their names?
I'm not even going to say anything.
Do they have Facebook?
Yes, they have Facebook.
Okay, I'm gonna find them through your Facebook.
You're gonna stalk them. Good luck.
I'm sure they comment on all your stuff. Like, great job, mija.
My T90K says, what was the backstage area like at the Royal Rumble? Was everyone talking about Vince? You know what? The people, I only actually spoke about it with probably one person. But I'm also really antisocial.
Also, yeah.
And really kind of keep to myself.
But like the kind of like the vibe back there, was it like, could you feel it? You know what I mean?
Are you talking,
like,
about the press conference or are you talking about the media day?
Yeah, kind of both.
So media day, everybody was just like busy doing their own thing. That was actually the day that I did talk about it with somebody. And it was very quick because it was like, hey, how are you? And it was like, oh my God, what'd you think? Blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, oh, get to work. And then that was it. And then I kind of stay in my own little section and I do my work and that's it. So I don't really talk to anybody. And if I do talk to someone, it's a very quick, like, hey, you know, that type of thing. So I don't really get to have these conversations with people. And then during the show, I sat next to the same person that I had already talked about it with and everybody else, I was talking about something else or like I was just doing my work. So, and you know me, I sit by myself, Reg, I serve my little food. I turn on my computer and I watch the show. I keep to myself a whole lot at these events. Sometimes I'm not really like, if you come up to me, great, let's have a conversation. But if I don't know you, I gotta wait till you come up to me. I ain't gonna go up to you.
Right,
keep to myself a whole lot. And then at the presser, I showed up late. Did I tell you?
Oh, you did tell me. Yeah, because we did the press show.
Yeah, so all of the seats were full, and I was in the back, and it was just me and this other guy that were in that little press area, and then it was the WWE cameras and stuff. And so I didn't get to talk to anybody like before that. By the time the press conference had started, it had started, but there was moments during the presser, and I don't have to tell you which moments. You guys know which moments. There was moments during the presser where it was just like a type of moment. And you just see everyone's head shift in whatever direction we were looking at. And there was just moments where I was like, oh, my God. And I'm sending out my little tweets and stuff. And that was it. So I wouldn't say, like, those moments were definitely, I'm not going to say tense, but I was in there wondering if people were wondering the same thing that I was wondering, because I didn't know what was going through people's minds. You know, there was things that when I saw it happen, I was like, oh my God, that's so bad. Right. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know if everybody else thought it was bad until afterwards.
Until you saw it and then you're like, oh yeah, everybody thought it was bad too.
Actually, after the press conference where everyone that I saw, I at least talked about it with at least like six people afterwards. We were talking about what had unfolded at the press conference. And so that was really when we started talking about it, was after the press conference. Gotcha. But again, like I said, I'm sort of antisocial. I keep to myself. So for that reason, I don't really know if everybody else was talking about it. But, you know, obviously I talk about it with like my friends and stuff.
Exactly. Like Denise isn't like looking around for scoops and like asking people what they think when she's at these things.
No, I'm not. Like, I'm really just like, I sit by myself. I serve my food. I go, I log on to my Twitter, and that's literally me. So, it was just, it was just so wild, man. It was so wild. The whole
thing. Weird weekend. Weird week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not an amazing week, Triple H.
Yeah, I know. By the way, if you guys missed our conversation about that, you guys can watch Reg and I talk about that in our Royal Rumble post show, because we break that down and we get into a really big, serious conversation surrounding the press conference, and we talk about it a little bit more and whatnot. So if you guys want to get more conversation, more in-depth thoughts on that, that would be over on our Royal Rumble presser, especially because we talked about it like right afterwards.
Grapsity show and that show for me last week were very heavy. So like, if you want to kind of feel how our thoughts were on that, you could check out those shows to really get into it, because like I said, there was a lot going on last week, and kind of processing it in real time. Sometimes Denise, doing these podcasts could be hard when these situations like Bray Wyatt passed away, and then like an hour later doing a podcast, this stuff could get hard. So like, being able to process with you guys and all that is really helpful sometimes. So we appreciate you guys for sticking around. And again, if you want to check it out, we did the post show. So yeah.
Right. Of course. It's one of those things where, again, you want to know what other people are thinking, if they're thinking the same thing you're thinking. And that's part of the reason why people tune into podcasts. You know, people have their own thoughts and opinions, and they go on shows and see what other people are saying. Are they saying the same things? Are they not saying the same things? Mm-hmm. And it's just been a, it's been a crazy week overall. But yeah, I guess that was honestly like the best way that I can describe what it was like being there for media for the Royal Rumble. But yeah, man, they definitely could have done better in the sense of just like providing some sort of statement for everybody. And now I wonder when we're going to hear like any more updates, of when we're going to hear some more.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Do you think like they'll release some kind of state? Do you think they'll release something to kind of reassure? Because like, we can't wait till the next press conference to ask questions about this. Where do you think, before we get out of here, where do you think they kind of are going to land on this? Because we're fans, even their fans are not going to let them just like keep doing Raw, keep doing SmackDown, keep doing these things without kind of answering for some of this stuff.
I have a feeling that we're not going to hear about it unless some another story comes out.
Like if somebody gets released or fired or something off of it, then we'll hear about it.
Something like that. Or if another victim comes out, I think that's when we'll hear more about it. But I have a feeling like Triple H said in the press conference, that they're wanting to focus on the positives. And I feel like that's going to be their MO moving forward, unless something else comes up. Right. I don't know. That's just where I'm at. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't hear anything for like the again, next couple of bits until something else happens. Because it's like the last time this happened, we weren't really hearing much. Like Vince was back. Okay. And then that was it. We didn't hear anything else until this story broke. And you know, that was that.
Wild, wild stuff.
I know. Mm. Oh my gosh. Well, I hate to end the show on a like, you know, sad note, but regardless, going back to AEW, that's a terrible. How do you transition? I don't know how to transition.
Then he said, regardless.
Rewinding. I don't know. What's the word? We had a really great AEW Dynamite post show. I'm sorry that I ended things on a sad note. But seriously, though, I want to thank everybody who tuned in to talk about AEW, everybody who's tuned in to any of the videos that I posted over the week, guys. All of your support seriously means a whole lot to me. So thank you to everybody. Officially surpassed 140,000 subscribers. If you're new here, welcome. I stream all the freaking time. I'll even get annoying coming on the streams all the time, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and bonus shows. But I hope that you guys will come in and hang out and enjoy the show. Reg, before we go, where can people follow you?
Yo, it's an hour and 33 minutes. Denise and I got on the show like Cody Rhodes. What are we going to talk about? And it's been an hour and 30 minutes. We've been talking about stuff for an hour and 30 minutes. That's how it goes. Everybody can find me at Righteous Reg on all your social medias. I'm here with Wednesday Denise AEW Dynamite post show every Wednesday. I'm also on with Mike and Indeed every Wednesday, Rifle Overbook. Thursdays, I'm on with Kate talking Ring of Honor post show. Tomorrow, it's Ask Grapsity with me and Phil. And every Saturday, it's regular Grapsity, Righteous Reg, Philip Lindsay. And then Sunday, I'm going to be watching NXT and talking about it with Denise. So, shout out to y'all.
Oh, that's going to be a fun show.
Is it Sunday
show.
Or is it Saturday? Is the
no,
show
it's Sunday.
Sunday?
It's okay, Sunday. Cool. Sunday at 5 p.m.
I'll be there. We'll be there.
You know it. You know it. Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much. We'll catch you guys on the next one.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.